everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. I'd like to thank our most recent guest, Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area. I really like that dude. And this guy's got a lot of information, and if you want to know in depth as to how things work and how those projects go down, and a lot about the ins and outs of civil projects in Wisconsin in general, then Dan Schaefer's the guy to go to.
Yeah, he's been keeping an eye on that stadium freeway reimagination and being a driving force behind it. Another individual that was driving force behind it, State Rep Evan Goyke as well. So yeah. Goyke was at the event yesterday and has been talking about fixing the harm that was done by putting that freeway where it is. And so the reimagination of that is going to do, I think, wonders for the community. And it'll be really exciting to keep an eye on that project as it continues to develop at both the city, county, and statewide level. Yeah, Brian, our guests this week are just letting us know that every single election is important everywhere, both Dan Schaefer and Annalise Eicher earlier this week.
Folks, it's called We the People for a reason.
Yes.
And democracy doesn't work unless we the people are really we the people, because it can't be like, man, but her emails, so I'm just going to sit over here. Yeah. Man, nothing bad will happen. They're all the same anyway.
Yeah, the 2019 Supreme Court race. Who cares? What difference is that going to make?
Difference will matter? Lisa Neubauer didn't come around the devils too much, so I just don't like her that much. She didn't come around and say hi to people nice. She didn't try hard enough. I'm just going to go and let the crazy right wing guy go. It doesn't matter. I bet you people didn't even know who either Neubauer or Hagedorn
was. I have a feeling that was
a really close race, and nobody showed up for that one.
Right. The voter turnout in that one was way lower than it should have been, but it had consequences. And a little update from a guest earlier this week, Annalise Eicher. She announced that she is running for the 46th Assembly District here on the east side of Madison, kind of right where our WTTN 92.7 FM signal originates in the Sun Prairie, Cottage Grove, east side of Madison area. So Annalise, I kind of teased her about it. I was like, well, why didn't you announce that when you're on the show with us? And she's like, I was waiting until Wednesday. It was Intergalactic Star Wars Day. She had a great a Rogue One quote to go with her announcement. And so she has entered that Democratic primary to go after the seat that is previously held by retiring State Representative Gary Hebel. So best of luck to Annalise in that primary and all the great candidates that are announcing up and down the ballot, because it's important. Like they're all saying, Annalise, Dan, they're saying that every election is important. We got to be paying attention to all of them and elect good people up and down the ballot.
You mentioned a good person who's elected, and that's Evan Goyke. He's pretty much signed on to almost anything that, if you want to talk about good legislation, Evan Goyke's probably signed on to it. That's pretty much the best I can tell you. Let's go to the phones. Let's see what Mark from the SAC has to say. How you doing, Mark?
Doing okay. Interesting you're talking about the freeway. I just saw a thing on the socialists in Milwaukee, the success that they had in making Milwaukee a first-class city that had won all sorts of awards back in the day, that even though it may or may not have declined, it's still a wonderful city. But how he thought, they're putting the freeways in, he thought it was a good idea. The last socialist mayor thought it was a good idea, but then he saw what damage it did, and he said it was just a bad idea to have that freeway, cutting through right through a neighborhood. But to get back to, the whole election thing and the topic of the day that is on everybody's lips, but there's more than just that. I mean, Samuel Alito must not have actually read the Constitution, because apparently he penned that unless it's enumerated in the Constitution, the right doesn't exist.
But then he referenced somebody who wrote before the Constitution even existed.
And failed to acknowledge the Ninth Amendment as well.
The whole Ninth Amendment. But part of the reason some of the framers were opposed to the Bill of Rights, because they saw it as a danger, because they saw the enumeration of those rights might have been limiting to the rights that people actually have. And on the whole Supreme Court, the Roe versus Wade thing, that any of these Republicans should be queried at this point in time now whether they favor the laws that apparently give support to rapists' families being able to sue to protect the product of the rape, that unless they're willing to condemn that, they're just label them as pro-rape. I mean, I hate to say it, but double damn them for this nonsense they're pulling out.
I got you, Mark, and I'm hesitant to do that myself just because, I mean, look, it's a thing to pull out when you're in an argument and you're in a rage type of thing and you just want to shove it in someone's face and whatnot, but I hesitate to do that because they do the same thing to us. They label us baby killers as if that's the whole reason why we want choice in the first place. And if you listen to any of our reason arguments as to what it is, you'll know what the issue is. And that's for me, if you're going to go and say we're using their same tactics against them, and I totally get that and I totally understand that. I'm just saying I'm not necessarily sure that that's the best tact to go around, especially with folks who get so provoked and triggered at the merest drop of a hat. And sometimes a lot of those people are deadly because on this whole thing, the people who have terrorized folks the most are the ones on the right. So again, be careful the badger you poke, but again, I'm not saying let's be afraid of them. Let's just go at them with more intelligent things than calling them rapists. I don't know if intelligent is the way, less intelligent is the way that I want to phrase it, but I'm lacking words here.
Well, the hard part here, Brian, is that a lot of people on the pro-life side of this argument that are excited about the way that this Supreme Court draft opinion is shaping up this issue, they're also, for lack of a better term, whitewashing history. They're saying, come on, why are you outraged? Why are you in the streets marching? Why are you screaming your heads off for some of the more liberal pundits on television? Why are you in such a tizzy? And they're whitewashing the fact that pro-life activists and supporters murdered doctors throughout the 1970s and 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Like, the pro-life people are calling for the death penalty.
They are so pro-life in Louisiana. People. Yeah, Brian, it is an excellent point. They are so pro-life in Louisiana that the Republican Party of Louisiana, the day after the Alito draft opinion leaked, they put forth a proposal to list abortion as murder. And the penalty for murder is the death penalty in the state of Louisiana.
Because
they are
so
pro-life in the state of Louisiana that they will kill you over it. That is how pro-life they are.
I would go with the whole, okay, you ban abortions. Okay, let's say your daughter doesn't want to have the child that she's forced to bear, but she bears that child. Would you feel comfortable putting that child in the foster care system right now? Would you feel comfortable putting a child up for adoption? Would you feel comfortable putting any child of your family's into the foster care system?
Yeah,
because that's where a lot of these kids will end up.
There was a concurrent opinion in the draft Alito piece from Justice Amy Coney Barrett that literally says the safe haven laws are so good around the nation now that you can just drop off if you don't want to actually raise the child that you are forced to bring to term through what would happen if Roe v. Wade was overturned. Safe haven laws are strong enough everywhere that you can just drop them off at a fire department, a library, a hospital, and you don't have to worry about the burden of actually raising a kid.
Well, who pays for the hospital bill? Are you going to do that? Because let's say it's somebody who can't afford even, let's say, health care, and let's say they just don't have it. So the state's going to assume that cost anyway for their hospital bill. Okay, and then the state's going to assume the cost for the child to go through the foster care system. And again, I know some really amazing foster care parents. I'm good friends with one. She was just asked to take a newborn and from the same person who placed another child with her last year, and she could not take the newborn. She didn't have the would not have been fair, but she within maybe 24 hours had a whole bunch of people lined up ready to go and take the newborn, but there's not even a service for that. There's like you could, if you wanted a new car, you can find one used and sell it. If you want to go and get a ride from here to freaking Hawaii, there's somebody who can go and figure out. There's apps you can use to figure out how to get yourself all the way to Hawaii on the spur of the moment if you wanted to. But there's no websites to connect people legally for foster families and things like that. It's insane how little support the actual support system that we need to sustain what we're going to do here, if we're going to overturn Roe, that's the tack we need to go at these people with. Well, is what have you done to support the system that you're going to, this entire group of people you're going to create now? You're adding more people to our society, which okay, how is this going to work?
But hang on, Brian. It's still forcing women not to have the autonomy over their bodies.
I get you. They've already moved beyond that argument. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. And they have moved beyond that argument. And I really wanted to play George Carlin's whole opening bit about this, Brian, because I think it sums it up pretty well, because it dives into these other aspects. Then, fine, after birth, you can't be pro-life and then be anti making sure that childcare is affordable. You can't be pro-life and then insist to defund public schools. You can't be pro-life and then and take a number of the Republican views on societal issues because you're not there to help the people that need the assistance be after you have forced them to come to term with the pregnancy. And it is shocking to me that we are where we are right now and that we are going to have these conversations, and these are very difficult conversations. Uh-huh. And the fact that there is, I referred to it as the dog catching the car earlier.
Yeah.
The Republican Party does not know what to do now that it is the car that caught and bit onto the bumper, because they've been chasing turning over Roe v. Wade for more than four decades now. And the actual consequences of what this draft leaked opinion will be if it becomes actual case law is just tremendous.
Yeah. I don't even think they've even taken a second to think about enforcement. You might say, oh yeah, somebody deserves the death penalty for that. Okay, well, how do you establish proof of that? How do you find this out? How do you look through it? How do you investigate this? How do you get, is it Texas where you know vigilante, you know, jerks just calling in on a hotline? How does this work? On top of that, what are the consequences for the man? What are the consequences for the male involved? Any? Are there any? Is it all on the physician? Is it all on the woman? Like, none of, I don't see any of this discussed. They want to punish so badly, but they have no means for execution on this. You know, I'm going to completely switch subject, but another hot topic is immigration. Sure, you can say, oh, I don't like them coming here illegally and things like that, and whatever you believe in that, I disagree with you, but because your family came here illegally, I'm pretty sure that your family name is not the same family name they came over here with, but I guess that's legal, right? Anyway, point being, how are you going to get them out? Are you going to go door to door? How does that look? What's the mechanism for actually having this happen? How is this actually ever going to be enforced? You know, you have the majority of the United States that doesn't agree with this abortion. People think that abortion should be legal. A majority of people in the United States.
Both in Wisconsin and the U.S.
And there's several states that are saying that our attorney general says that if that happens, he's not going to prosecute. So what effectively have you done other than say, hey, we're a bunch of chest-beating jerks? But again, the will of the people will out eventually. Because even if you turn it back, the attorney general here that we elected said, don't care.
Yeah, well, Republicans want a government so small that they can drown it in a bathtub, but so large that they can regulate more than 50% of the bodies here in our country.
Last I checked, our government was about 300 million strong.
And we the people are the government. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We got Matt from Mount Horeb texting in, Brian, saying pro-life was originally anti-death penalty, but the right co-opted it and put it onto this cause. So that's really
kind of how they did that with everything. It's funny how they did that with Christianity, how Christianity is now about shooting people with guns.
Somehow. That's how a lot of them view it as. Folks, one more segment left in the day. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Who wanted the chicken cross the road?
They get to the left or the right.
He stepped out of range, got hit by a tank.
He ain't no chicken no more. No!